The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now we move to this story that some retailers are calling for the minimum wage increases to be stopped, and there are fears it's preventing young people from getting work. Retail Excellence Ireland says that the cost is now too high for certain shop owners and that a generation are being locked out of getting their first job. I'm joined now by the chair of ISME, Finbar Phelan, and associate professor with the ESRI, Paul Redmond. Thank you both for being with us. So Finbar, I'll speak to you first as a business owner and chair of ISME. What's going on in the sector? Like, are you less likely to hire younger workers because of the minimum wage?
Morning, Claire, and morning, listeners. And the simple answer is yes, but we have to look at the last number of years before we just come to that conclusion. So over the last 4 years, the minimum wage has increased by 35%. And that's on top of all the other increasing input costs that businesses have been facing. So there's been huge pressure on businesses to remain viable. And we as business owners couldn't pass on all the cost to our consumers, or the cost of living crisis would be just much more worse than it is currently. So we had to become more efficient. So in my case, my rostered hours over the last 2 years has reduced by 10%. And if you look in any store you go into, many retailers are installing self-checkouts or they're reducing open hours just to remain viable. And that has just led to fewer opportunities for young people to get jobs. And this is stacked up in the facts of the unemployment. So last year, at the tail end of last year, youth unemployment was at 10%. Now it's at 12%. And in the past, we could afford to carry a younger staff that had little or no experience. But we just can't now, Claire. We have to remain viable. And we have to make really hard decisions. And it's very unfortunate that we can't take on young kids, because in this digital age where they spend so much time online, it's really important that they learn how to work and learn how to engage in the workforce. But they're just not getting the opportunity to do that.
OK, Paul, do you agree with that, that it is too expensive now to hire young people? So anyone over the age of 19 must be paid €14.15 an hour. And we hear there from Finbar that that's just too much. They can't afford to do it.
Well, just in terms of the evidence, I mean, firstly, just to say, the evidence that we find is kind of consistent with what Finbar says in terms of hours worked. We find consistent evidence that the minimum wage increases lead to a modest reduction in hours worked. I think Finbar there is talking about hiring, and it may be that they're less likely to hire. We've recently looked at whether the minimum wage increases have led to existing minimum wage employees, which are typically lower younger employees, losing their jobs. And we don't find to date, even with the 2024 increase, which was the largest increase to date, there was no evidence that when that minimum wage increased that younger workers lost their jobs. Now, whether there's a reduction in hiring is a separate question. And I know Finbar's probably talking more about that, but and that may be the case, but we haven't looked at that yet. In terms of just how high the minimum wage is, there have been significant increases in the minimum wage since 2016. So, but it was starting from a low base. So there was a long period of time when the minimum wage didn't go up, and then you had these yearly increases upon the establishment of the Low Pay Commission. And now we've a living wage target that we're moving towards in 2029 now. But when you look at it in terms of how high it is, it has increased a lot, and there have been significant increases in recent years. If you look at it across countries, like Ireland, obviously, the cost of living here is quite high. So when you take account of what average wages are, or even how expensive it is just in terms of prices, we're not an outlier in that. We're actually lower than a lot of other countries like Germany, France, Belgium, and so on. So while it has increased a lot in nominal terms, when you kind of look to gauge how high it is by looking across countries, it's still not as high as some other countries. And again, just to say that, like, the target is... the living wage target that we're not at yet, but the government has committed to in 2029, that's 60% of the median wage.
Yes, and that's something I wanted to ask you both about, because Retail Excellence Ireland makes the point today in the Mail that the target might be off. So if you're looking at the living wage target of 60% of median earnings, Retail Excellence Ireland says that that is based on high-paid jobs, or high-paid jobs are included in that calculation. So you're basing the median off, you know, wages that are paid in the likes of tech and pharma. Does that inflate that living wage figure, Paul?
Well, when you're calculating the median wage, you have to include everybody because by definition and by construction, that's what the median wage is. But the thing about the median is that it kind of overcomes the issues that you're pointing out there, because if you're looking at the mean, then really high paid jobs, like you're talking about pharma and tech, they can really drag up the mean wage. But that's why we don't look at the median or the mean. We look at the median because in a sense that controls for that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what that points to then, Finbar, is that the low pay commission is very much likely in 2027 to recommend that the minimum wage goes up again.
They're very likely to do that. And ISMI has always been a supporter of the minimum wage. And we've always called for, since our establishment over 30 years ago, we've called for a minimum wage for employees in Ireland, because we want to support our employees. But we want to go up at inflation. We don't want to go up at factors of inflation, and that's what's been happening. And not to bore the listeners, but we do have an issue with the stats that are being used to calculate the living wage, and that we believe that the numbers used for civil servants is out by actually 3%, that they're including, they've overestimated the amount of civil servants, and that has an effect on what the living wage target should be. And that's something we've discussed with the Low Paid Commission. But I personally was with the Low Paid Commission with four other employers about 3 weeks ago to give a presentation. And we also, the same thing, we are reducing hours. And going back to what Paul said, is that people in the minimum wage aren't losing their jobs, but they're just working less. So, in fact, most of the people on the minimum wage now have less bite with their salary than they had 2 years ago.
But Finbar, would you be able to get people to work for you for less than €14.15?
No, because that's the minimum wage.
I know, but let's look at it, right? I mean, you're saying that you can't give people the hours that you would have done because the minimum wage is what it is. But this is an expensive country to live in. Like, it has to be that, doesn't it, for people to be able to survive?
Yes, but it's a vicious circle. So if we continue to drive up the minimum wage, and that's the base cost that drives all costs in Ireland, because once the minimum wage goes up, all wages go up. And that's why our wages are driving forward. So Paul said that we are not an outlier, but we are, as a matter of fact, the highest minimum wage in Europe. And recently, about a week ago, there was reports that we're the highest for electricity, highest for childcare, highest for healthcare. And there's a reason for that, because we keep driving up our costs. And at some stage, we're going to have to break the circle, because if we keep driving up minimum wage, costs will keep going up, and we will never get to a stage where the cost of living crisis is dealt with. At some stage, someone is going to have to put a spanner in the wheel and say, stop, we have to stop this increases at higher than cost of inflation.
Paul, is the minimum wage driving other costs up?
We're actually looking at that at the moment for the Low Pay Commission, so we expect to have something more concrete later in the year about the actual impact of minimum wage on inflation. In terms of the overall impact on inflation, it's likely to be quite limited, because a small percentage of workers are actually on minimum wage. And when you look at the contribution, let's say, of minimum wages to the overall wage bill, it's very, very small. When you look, you can kind of look, a lot of it's been done in other countries in terms of the impact on costs, and you find some evidence that there's an impact in terms of, you know, restaurant prices, fast food prices, just food outside the home, but other categories aren't typically affected. So there's a lot going on in Ireland, no, not Ireland, but internationally, that's driving price increases. And the minimum wage increases may be a very small factor, only for very specific sectors, but really what's driving the cost increases more broadly are factors that are sort of almost external to us, in terms of the energy crisis and so on. So the minimum, we'll have something more concrete later on in the year, but I can tell you that from what we know about the contribution to the overall wage bill and what we know internationally, the minimum wage increases may increase costs for restaurants and so on, but overall it's likely to be quite limited.
But it might have a disproportionate effect on retail.
Yeah, retail is an interesting one. And again, like I know Finbar is kind of, he deals with this on a daily basis. When you look at what the evidence says is that retail costs, obviously there's a lot of different retail products and services, but a lot of that is driven again by external factors like input costs and again even energy costs and so on. So when you look at the evidence internationally, you find that in terms of retail prices, you don't really see much in terms of the minimum wage effect. It's more in things like restaurant prices and when you eat like food away from home, takeaway coffees and that sort of thing.
Okay, so are you saying then that the increases in minimum wage are not having a material impact on Finbar's business?
Oh, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. I mean, I can't speak to anybody's individual business, but what we do is we look at the evidence and we say, well, what's the evidence saying on average? And what if I'm to summarize, like we've been working with the Low Pay Commission for 10 years now. We've had a research program looking at issues relating to minimum wage. And if I'm to summarize that in, let's say, two sentences or 10 years of research, what we find is that the minimum wage increases that have occurred to date, they haven't had an impact on jobs in terms of people losing their jobs, but they've had a reduction, a modest reduction on hours worked.
Okay. And that does that tally with what you're saying, Finbar? Because you didn't say to me at the start that you're cutting jobs, you're cutting hours.
Yeah, we're cutting hours, and that's what all businesses are doing. And next year, I'm going to have to look at cutting hours that I actually open to, because I can't cut hours anymore, because I need to have someone at my till, I need to have someone at my deli. I can't just say, no, well, I'm having no one at the deli today, and that wouldn't work. So we have to look at other options. But I fundamentally disagree with Paul on the fact that minimum wage isn't driving up all wages, because once the minimum wage comes in, everybody in my business, and over 60% of the people in my business are not on the minimum wage, they all go up by a factor related to the minimum wage. And that's happening all over the country. So, and we have to move away from looking at the minimum wage as 14, 15. It's actually 32,000 a year when you put in employers' PRSI on top of it. So it's a huge number. And that number then, in every other business, if you go to accountancy, if you're bringing in a junior accountant, they're probably now starting on 35,000, where 4 years ago they were starting on 25,000. So that drives up costs. So once you move the minimum wage, you move all wages by a relative amount. Yeah, we don't just
a listener doesn't agree with that. A listener who's listening in says, I'm sorry now, but that lad's saying that when minimum wage goes up, all wages go up. Not a hope. So how does that happen?
They just do. In my business, they do. And in many businesses, we have to put them up.
So you have to give a commensurate wage to everybody up along the chain.
Yeah, because it's only fair for the people who have more experience who are there longer. But what is happening is more and more jobs are now starting at the minimum wage. So where if you had a number of years ago, again, we take a trainee accountant. A number of years ago, that would have been seen as someone coming out of college, has 4 years experience, they would be starting at the minimum wage plus. Now they're starting at the minimum wage. So there is more and more jobs now starting at the minimum wage level. And again, that is reducing the amount of people that are getting jobs at wages above the minimum wage. Mm-hmm. And actually, something I think that Paul, you might ask Paul to comment on that, or are they looking at that level of detail?
Paul?
Yeah, well, just firstly to say, just in terms of what happens to wages for people above the minimum wage, like Finbar says, he gives a pay increase, commensurate pay increase to everybody, and that may happen in some cases. When you look, we've looked at this, and again, Finbar's right in that you observe some spillovers, so people that are just above the minimum wage are likely to get a pay rise as well. But when you look across the wage distribution, the spillovers, we call them spillovers, they're quite, like they don't reach, let's say, very far up the wage distribution. So instead of having, let's say, a commensurate sort of wage increase for everybody, you get a little bit of a wage increase on average, I'm saying, for people at the bottom of the distribution. But it kind of you don't see it across, you know, much higher paid workers. And yeah, in terms of like the starting salary of new hires, again, this sort of relates to that point that we were just talking about. When the minimum wage is increasing, you see a sort of we call it the wage distribution, which kind of captures low earners and high earners. And you see the low earner part of the wage distribution gets kind of squashed. So you have more workers starting, let's say, or more workers working at this minimum wage as opposed to a higher wage for everybody. So again, yeah, that may be the case. And the other thing to say is that in Ireland, we also have, and something that hasn't been mentioned, we've sub-minimum wage rates. So 14, 15 is the full rate. But if you're age 19, you can be paid 90% of the full rate. And if you're aged 18, 80%, and 17 or below, you know, 70%. So if you hire somebody, let's say, that's age 17, you can legally pay them €9.91 per hour. If they're 18, €11.32 per hour. Now, typically in Ireland, these rates, and again, Finbar will know about this, I'm sure he may or may not use them, but he may comment on it. But in Ireland, they're typically rarely used, and that employers tend to pay young workers the full rate. But we've seen in recent years is that employers may be looking towards these sub-minimum rates to a greater degree than
so
they
hiring,
have in the past.
So hiring younger people under the age of 19 to avail of those lower rates.
Or even hiring the same age people, but instead of paying them the full rate, maybe they're now more likely to pay them the sub-minimum wage rate.
Okay. Do you want to respond to that briefly, Finbar, before we finish up? Yeah. Is that something that you use?
I use a version of it. I pay my younger staff the minimum wage from last year, and it's just something I've done historically, but it's something I am now looking at. And it's something that there is a recommendation to eliminate the subminimum rates, and that's something that we would oppose because it will give businesses the opportunity to remain viable. They removed the subminimum rates in the UK about 4 years ago, and Rishi Sunak has recently said that it was a mistake and they shouldn't have done it because it has led to fewer people in employment.
All right, we'll leave it there. Finbar Phelan and Paul Redmond, thank you both for being with us.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.